Now, let me just quickly go on to what I have to do today, all right? So I don't waste our time. Now, because we don't have so much time, I will not review the things we said last time. And if you were not around, I would just encourage you to get the tape, all right? And although I can't help it, but say a few things, but I won't go into it in details, all right? Now, to continue from where we stopped, I would like to take two portions of the scriptures. Let us read them as texts for today's teaching. One of them we have read before, that's Isaiah chapter 2, from verse 2. Isaiah was speaking, he said, "Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths.' For the Lord will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples." He said, "They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war." Then verse 5 says, "Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you," that is addressing the Lord now, "have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. And there is a reason for that. Because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines." He said, "They strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Now they seem to prosper in what they are doing," verse 7. He said, "Their land has been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land has also been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots." Now let me end there, and then go on to the next portion I would like us to read, Psalm 34. Notice these things I'm quoting, and then I'll just read them. We'll pass our comments as we go on without referring too much back to the texts. From verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." He said, "Come, you children, listen to me." Now, please, notice this very carefully. He said, "Come and see that the Lord is good. And there is no lack for anybody who fears God." He said, "Fear God, you his saints. Even though people suffer," verse 10, the young lions don't mean it doesn't mean the baby lions. It means the youthful, agile, strong, able to hunt lions. All right? That it might come to a point that things will be so scarce, they will lack and suffer hunger. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, "But even under such circumstances, they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." Therefore, David was saying, for this reason, David was explaining, "Because of these things I have said ahead of time, so that you will not lack, so that the time of adversity will not catch you in distress. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Let me just stop there. It said, "Come, you children, listen." Notice that word, "listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Which means that the fear of the Lord is something a man has to learn. It is not something that is innate or instinctive in him. Are you getting my point? That's why we read from Isaiah chapter 2 that he said, God departed from his people. Why? Because they were filled with influences from the east. That is, they did not have the fear of God. That is, what will cause somebody to excel or succeed or prosper or take charge, like we preached up to this point, is, and let me use the expression that we used earlier, is that the kingdom of God is birthed in him. We said during our previous teachings that this is the way life is. God created the heavens and the earth. He's enthroned in the heavens, but on the earth, his kingdom rules. That is, anywhere you find the kingdom of God, it always rules. Now, let me explain that. Kingdom refers to, as we know, the dominion of a king. And then the reason you know the king has dominion there is because his word is law there. That's all. You understand what I'm trying to say? So when you're talking about the kingdom of God, you are speaking about the laws of God or the principles the commandments that issue forth from God where they are taking effect. Now, let me tell you something about God. And that is the fact that, it might sound funny, but he's indeed the creator. It sounds funny, right? Now, of course, I thought you knew that. No, what does that mean? Anything he says about the creation is always true. That's the point I want to come to. So, no matter what science has come to discover as true, if it is against the word of God, science is not create the earth. They made a mistake. God does not make mistakes. That's what I'm trying to say. When I say he's indeed the creator, it means that science, you know what science does? Science tries to discover what was created. But look, it's like you build a house. And I try to find out how the house is, where the rooms are, and stuff like that. How many rooms there are. Now, if you are the architect of the house, you don't have to go there to find out how many rooms there are. You designed the house. You understand my point? The house has 10 rooms because you said it should have 10 rooms. If somebody comes afterwards and says that, I counted 12, you tell him he's blind. That is not the house that you designed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That he is counting. Of course, people will say, yeah, we counted, there are 10 rooms. The man who said there are 12 rooms. The man who said there are 10 is making a mistake. Then one day the man will come and say, okay, you said there are 12 rooms. Go and live in all the rooms. And people will pack into the rooms. And in two rooms, everybody that sleeps there dies. He said, you see, I said it is not a room, it's a store. I did not put ventilation. Then you will discover that God is true and every man is a liar. That no matter what it looks like, I said there are 10 rooms. You said you saw a space that looked like a room. Unfortunately, that is where the exhaust of the cars parked in the garage passed through. It is not a room. I designed it to be a store for grain. You understand my point? That I designed it that anything that lives there must feed on carbon dioxide and not oxygen. So those of you who live there thinking I don't know what I'm saying, you have been shown to be liars. Now, I'm saying something there about when you talk about the law of God. So, God who made the earth, if he tells anybody that this is the way to work, listen, let's assume in business. God says, when you are going to do business, if you have a filling station and you want to make quick money, that the quickest way to make money and the most stable way to make money on a filling station is, if you put in front that your fuel is 54 naira a liter, make sure that the nozzle dispenses 1 liter when it says 1 liter, and make sure you collect only 54 naira for a liter. Now, men will say, no, we sell 54 naira a liter openly, but actually, for every 10 liters, we give them 7. And they will not know after all we are putting it into their tanks, and they have become wise in their eyes. Very soon, they will die of poverty. And the man who was doing the right thing would have been shown to have been right. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The reason is simple. God created the earth. He created business. And he said, if you want to prosper in business, do it like this. Whether it makes sense or not is not the issue. The issue is that the man who created something said this is the way to do it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is what the Bible means when it says his kingdom rules over all. We read that earlier in previous teachings. That the kingdom of God indeed rules over all. God will always be shown to be true. And every person who opposes his ways will be shown to have lied. It is not as if God is vindictive. I don't know what I get what I'm trying to say. It's not God that is trying to say that. Ubong, you disagreed with me openly. I will show you now. That's why the fact that I'm wrong. But my pride, that God is not like that. Are you following what I'm saying? God is not like, how can I speak and somebody else speaks against me? It is not the way human beings. The reason why he sounds like that sometimes is that anybody speaking against me does not know what he's saying. Do you understand my principle? That is, just like the house we're talking about, anybody who says there are 12 rooms in there does not know what he's saying. It is not that, do you know how many degrees I have in architecture? Do you know how much I see into the future? That's not the issue. The issue is that, look, I built the house. I designed and built it. And believe me, there are 10 rooms. Anybody who wants to die, go into the other so-called rooms that you're talking about. It's not a matter of pride. It's a matter of truth. Now, I'm saying all of this to bring out this point again. That if your life is indeed the kingdom of God, it is not struggle. You will indeed be the head and not the tail. Are you following what I'm saying? You will indeed be the head and not the tail. Now, so I read all of this to bring out the point that David said, come you children, if you want to get into difficult times and not lack, because adversity will always come. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It does not happen that the earth will never go through difficult times. The only thing is where a man is planted. The one who is planted by the rivers, no matter whether it's rainy season or dry season, he always has enough water. So David said, if you want to experience that constancy of life, he said, come, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, when we're speaking in previous time, we explained all of this in further detail. In fact, I remember last time where I used a very good example on the issue of marriage. And that's one area where people tend to be filled with influences from those who don't know anything. They think they know, but they say, in our place, you know, one day a man that was talking to, let me use marriage as an example again. I was talking to some of my colleagues, and the guy said that he saw an old man who went and built a house, you know, kind of secretively, you know. He didn't let his wife really know. And according to him, I don't know what it means, that he built it in his name and not for him and his wife. That he looked at the old man and said, why did you do that? And the man said that, don't worry. One day you will grow up and you will understand why things like this are done. So the guy telling me too, he had acquired the wisdom and he was trying to share it with the likes of me. And that one, if I'm being nice to you, I won't answer you. If I'm in a bad mood, I'll tell you the truth. You understand my point? I don't know how I responded to him. But all I remembered was that David said, let me now add this onto it. Come, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God. That what that man has done is not the fear of God. It is the fear of human experiences. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is not the fear of God. What God joined together, he has, because of fear of human experiences, put asunder. I said, I won't learn his ways. Listen, I plan to live very old, not to very old age. And I plan by God's mercy that my wife will live with me to that very old age. And when I'm watching TV, sometimes I'm watching people, there is nothing that gladdens me more than when I see an old man and an old woman walking and they are holding hands. And you see, the man is probably 95 and the woman is maybe 89 or 90 something too. One day I was in Luth. Then I entered the one common room. I remember, the nurse's common room. And there was one old man and one old, now I'm going to talk about old, none of them will be less than 85. They had come to the hospital for something. And then I think maybe their child that brought them now said they should wait there while he or she ran around to do some things. And the two people sat down and they held hands. And people were peeping and going to go and call other people to come and look. I don't have to tell you, that man doesn't have a house built hidden somewhere that woman doesn't know about. No, I don't have to tell you. You understand the principle I'm trying to say? That is, it is the fear of God that prolongs somebody's life and makes him happy till old age. You understand my principle? That look, when God says, when David said, come, David explained that if you want this, want this, want that, then come, let me teach you the fear of God. A lot of things people practice, they are not the fear of God. You understand what I'm saying? And they start giving each other counsel. You know, they will speak with one another. Look, let's be frank, you know, all this one that people are saying, this life, women are very dangerous, you don't know. Be it unto you according to your faith. Look, there are dangerous women out there. You have just called one as yours. No, it's true. Look, your words have power. You have said, you can't trust them. Your wife will not be trustworthy. Not because of you. It's just because God will look for a not trustworthy person and that's you. And you won't be able to resist it. You know, people think, look, listen, your imagination is stronger than your willpower. Let me just tell you that. Now, I first heard this from, if I tell you who said it, you'll be surprised where I get some information from. It's just that this is in accordance with the word of God. That your imagination is stronger than your willpower. What you imagine to do is stronger than what you will to do. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. That is what you have conceived. Listen, life responds to what is inside your heart, not what is on the surface. Let me give an example. if in your heart you have made up your mind that no man will ever cheat me and get away with it, it's an imagination. Now, you come and they teach you humility, humility, humility. Until that thing is uprooted from your mind, anybody, look, you'll be slapping people regularly in public. And you won't know why you can't control it. You know what I'm saying? What you imagine, that's the state of your heart. The Bible says, out of the heart comes forth. That is, what is resident inside a man's heart always comes out. And we discussed this about when talking about the power of the Spirit. That what is inside you actually irradiates spiritual forces that either cause or repels things away from you. Now, many years ago, I read a book and they called a man a compulsive loser. That he thinks he's trying to win, but he always loses because really, he wants to lose. I read the novel as a child. I said, this is just, the author is trying to be, you know what I'm saying? He's trying to be authoritative. You get my point. He's just trying to write. After I grew up, I understood. There are people who try to succeed, but inside their heart is failure. There was one story Chooks, my friend, keeps telling about that. Okay, one of his professors mentioned it, told them that the difference between the smart student and the bad student, that the lecturer will ask a question. 2 + 2 × 5. And all the students will quickly reason it out and say 2 + 2 × 5. Okay, board mass, whatever it is, and arrive at 12, you know. You do the 2 × 5 first, all right, before you do the +2. And say the answer is 12. And that the dull student, in quotes, looks and says, since I am a dull person, it must be the wrong answer. So he changes it around and says, it is 2 + 2 = 4 × 5 = 20. So he says the answer is 20. But the bright chap says, I'm bright. So the answer is 12. That now, get what the man is trying to say, that the chances of all of them getting it is about the same. But the confidence in each person's heart decides whether he gets it or he misses it. What was he saying there? I'm using that to illustrate something. That the imagination in the person's heart is stronger than the willingness to pass. It's stronger than the willingness to get the question right. That they have told you that you cannot do it this way. And listen, listen, listen. What you imbibe in life, like I said, settles in your heart and decides what comes towards you or what is repelled from you. If every day, you watch television and they tell you your country is bad, you people are indebted, your leaders are corrupt, your nation is not good for investment. In fact, there is no good future and you keep on imbibing it. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence because from it flows forth your future. From it flows forth your marriage. From it flows forth your prosperity. The Bible says, the issues of life. Now, those things soak into your heart and then one day, listen, this is how God gives, God gives everybody indeed an opportunity. But the difference is that he leads a man that he is pleased with him or walks with him in the path of righteousness to do the right thing at the time of opportunity. Are you getting what I'm saying? So now, a man has imbibed all this nonsense. So one day, now, just reverse in your mind to 1999. All right? GSM network were not in Nigeria. Licenses were about to be issued. All right. Now, the man who said, there is no hope. Somebody will say, I know somebody in MTN. They've just gotten the license. Let us quickly rent a house. Invest 2 million naira. And when MTN comes, we'll be their major dealer. Suddenly, from inside him, something rises. Nigeria is a bad country for investment. There is no future for any business. He won't understand why, but he will not be able to commit to that thing. That's why I say reverse in your mind, because you will understand that if he had done, he would have made millions and millions and millions over in the next few months. Are you getting my point? I mean, remember the story that, in fact, the person who shared the story is sitting there right there, that our president went and told Tony Blair to beg Vodafone to come and invest in Nigeria, and they said Nigeria is a bad investment. Now, all of them, now, after the 4 years exclusivity has ended and MTN has finished collecting hundreds of millions of dollars, now they are queuing up to buy into one of the, can you believe what I'm saying?
Why? Because despite the fact that men desired prosperity, the imaginations of their heart did not allow them to tap into it when it came. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, the heart of men failed them when they keep on giving them information that things are bad, things are bad, things are bad. And their heart responds, things are bad, things are bad, things are bad. So when good things come, they will look at it and say, this is bad. The thing is good, it's clearly good. But they tell them, things are bad. So the man looks at the good thing, it's in his hand, but his heart says it is bad. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is why David said, come, you children, listen to me. It is necessary that I teach you the fear of God. Stop fearing circumstances. What you need to do is what? Fear God. Like we said earlier during our exhortation, I said, promotion does not come from circumstances. God said, I am God, not the circumstances. That they cannot decide what will come upon you. They can't. So David said, come, you children, listen to me. I need to teach you the fear of God. Now, let me get quick again to the message I have for today. But let me end up by saying that whatever it is you are doing, in fact, this will be a good way to summarize what we said last time. That we said in every sphere of life, every man needs to be born again. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, I'm involved in ministry work. I mean, that's why you're sitting down here and listening to me, all right? I'm not a comedian. And listen, for many years, since I left university, I believed I would preach the gospel, all right, as a teacher. I just believed that and I knew that. So, every time things happen to preachers, I always listen. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm always attentive. You say, this man is doing well. I'm attentive. Look at this man. Can you believe it? Greatest American preacher. They found him with a harlot. I'm attentive. Now, get my point. I was like, hey, BC, if you enter this kind of trouble, if you be Japanese, now to hang go. you could just look. They would say, look at this man, breakthrough. I'm happy, you know. If I see a preacher doing well, I am happy. If I see a preacher who has lost his direction, I am afraid. That is, hey God, I hope I won't lose direction. And like this man lost direction. After all, he too also had direction at the beginning. There was somewhere he placed it and the thing got missing. He has lost direction. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I was always attentive. Now, then listen to this also. I had fears. That's the point I'm coming to. There are things, now people will tell you, maybe like finance. I remember the day I mentioned, Kingsley, should I mention your name? I shouldn't mention it because it was you. Okay, I've already mentioned it. Okay, sorry. I told Kingsley that. We were just discussing, we met at the post office. I just mentioned that. Kingsley, sorry. I just mentioned that. No, we discussed some things, and I said maybe in about 5 years' time, or is it 7, 10 years' time, something like that. I said by that time, I will have since resigned my job as a hospital consultant, and that I like my job as a lecturer, but that will be the last secular job to go. And the guys, for a moment, his eyes popped like, Pastor. Then he quickly cautioned himself, said, amen, God will provide. Now, why did I tell that story? At the time, me too, I was wondering. That is, not in recent time, that was many years ago. Because, you know, one of the things I will tell people, and believe me what I'm saying, I believe that, one, ministry work is not a beggar's work. Are you getting my point? Number one. Number two, a minister is not a beggar. Listen, I don't pastor a church, all right? But even here, my reason for never saying offering time, all right, pass a basket, is because from time, it looked like a beggar. That is, I'm sorry, this is just my personal opinion, that people wrap, you know,
5 naira, 10 naira, 20 naira, you know, and just dropping an. I mean, general people trying to drop money that is the equivalent of what they used to buy groundnuts. No, that's a fact. Your parents taught you like that. Me too. I mean, it's instinctive. Parents take their children out to Mr. Biggs on the weekend and spend money on them. But when it is offering time in church, they kind of distribute 20, 20 naira to the kids. Yet, one meat pie Mr. Biggs currently costs 100 naira. This child sees you pay for meat pie, sees you pay for ice cream. Thank you. And then when it is time to give money in church, you give him 20 naira, he grows up inside his heart, believing that offering is worth less than Mr. Briggs' meat pie. Believe me, this is my principle. I will not give my children money to drop in church. No, I will not. And I'm serious about that. My wife, I've not told you before, now hear it. My principle is this. They will know, however, when I'm issuing my checks at the beginning or end of every month, that, okay, no, this goes to church. Oh, this goes for this work. This goes to this place. That is, they will see that I give to church more than I pay as their school fees. Are you getting my point? That's why I don't believe in every Sunday give money. Look, you've heard me explain that thing before. You give as you prosper. That is, I earn salary once a month. Once my salaries are paid, every sphere in life that gets my money gets its own portion. Most of them with checks. Any money I drop when I go to church on Sundays or whatever is what they call a perfunctory action. It's just one of those things you do, lest they say that you don't do it. Lest you give offense to the brethren. The truth is that what I know is that you give as you have been prospered. The idea is that you give when next you get to the assembly after you have received. Are you getting the point I'm making? So, look, I believe that thing very strong. That is why the way Kingsley takes that announcement is mostly my conjecture. You understand what I'm saying? That, listen, you let people know. Look, let me just say in passing. We pay Cosmo 15,000 naira each broadcast. Do you understand? The 30 minutes cost 15, and that's after they drop the rate. So, they started about 25. I ran. But I thank God for the power of the word. What actually took me back to the radio broadcast, one day I listened to my pastor from Lagos, and I can't remember what he said. All I know, by the time I finished listening to him, I instantly called him to say thank you. And I just told my wife, we are going on radio. And listen, 1 month after that, we had paid for the next 10 weeks on broadcast. I know the interesting thing. I plan to go and pay them for another 10 weeks, I mean, very soon. That is, we will never be behind. We'll always be ahead. God will supply. Look, that's what I believe. Are you following what I'm saying? I've always believed very strongly. Ministry work is not. It embarrasses me, believe me. When people mount the pulpit and say, do you know why church is not doing this? Because people are not giving. I drop my head. Sometimes I talk to some people, I say, come. The reason why church is not doing this is because God has not said do it. It's not because people are not giving. Are you following me? Look, my pastor, little Pastor Kwaju, his own is even an extreme. He said he has a law. He does not ever publicly discuss what he plans to do. The day they started paying hundreds of thousands of naira every month to stay on TV, he came to church normally on a Sunday and announced to the church people that on Wednesday, tune in at 6:30 a.m., we are on Silverbird. They were hearing it for the first time. Look, I don't believe ministry is not my own. If God will not bring money, then the work will not be done. Look, go and hire a mercenary preacher to come and deceive you into collecting money. To me, it's wickedness. I'm supposed to feed the sheep, not milk the sheep. I hope you are getting the point of what I'm trying to say. Now, I know I'm digressing quite a bit. But I started all of this by saying that there was a day I got to that point. At the time also, I was afraid. There are things I used to see, and I used to be a bit like, You know, so people will say, no, you can't go into ministry without having business on the side. Me too, I believed it at the time. I heard people say, you want to enter ministry? You first lay up money. And then when you enter ministry, they will know you have not come for the money. Listen to me. Who are they? What concerns you? What they think? Anybody who wants to think bad of you will think bad anyway. Yes. I like Watchmani. They said they will ask Watchmani, why don't you answer them, these accusations? He said, listen, there are two issues. If they trust us, they don't need an explanation.
If they don't trust us, we cannot persuade them. So why talk at all? Are you getting my point? So you don't need to prove anything to anybody. Just obey God. And God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Now, I'm coming to a point in all of this. There was a time also that I was afraid. But what God said was, come, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of God. How did I get that? Sometimes you hear Bishop Oyedepo say, somebody asked me once, how much money do you have saved up now that you're entering ministry? He said, I told the person, none. And in fact, in case I had any, I have to finish spending it before I go. And he said, why? He said, because God said, take no purse or scrip, neither greet any man along the way. That is, don't even explain your mission. You are not permitted to lobby. You know, we are doing a great work. We want you to come and support it. It is you that thinks it's a great work. I mean, I think it's a waste of time. You understand what I'm saying? It is you that thinks it's a great work. There are things you don't hear from my mouth to be telling somebody it's a great work. If the work affects you and you feel the impact of the vibration, it is great. You understand my point? But to come and tell you it's a great work, look, it's a matter of personal opinion. I am the one that thinks I'm called. You probably think, there are people who think I just went. There are people who think that what I am doing right now is a waste of time because they interacted with me. They said, this guy, you are very brilliant. You will make it in academics. And I personally consider it a secondary matter. So whatever how great your work is your personal opinion. You know, don't harass anybody with it. But let me get back to what I'm saying. So Bishop Oyedepo will say that. And then I remember Jesus called disciples. He said, when I sent you without bag or scrip, he said, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. He said, now, take this when you are going. So that you will know that I'm not telling you to take it because I will not be able to supply. He first established it. Now, I was learning these things. Then I began to hear testimonies of people. Then I was hearing, come, Banky, I will teach you the fear of God. I began to learn the fear of God. Are you getting my point? Yes. Then I realized that the laborer is worthy of his wages. Listen to me. It took me time to receive gifts given to me because I'm a minister. For years, I didn't. Until, I don't know how I even learned. I just realized that, listen, my friend, the laborer is worthy of his wages. That you owe it to people, all right, to receive the offering from them. Look, the pride of a man sometimes is what he calls righteousness. Yes. Pride, nothing but pride. Listen, I make it a principle not to be a burden to people. Like, one of the things, there are ministers who, believe me, this is what I'm saying, let me just tell you, is a fact. They send their budget ahead of time before they can come. If you cannot meet it, maybe tell you that to show up for 2 days is going to cost you 300,000 naira. In my mind, I would never do that. People say, hey, they have their reasons. One of my friends, Courage, he told me his experiences, which are the reasons why ministers do such things. But he has not changed. That he refused to allow those experiences to change him. He remained steadfast to the principles of God. That, look, if I can go, I will go. If I can't, I can't. But I will not tell anybody, you must get this amount of money ready for me. And then recently, I was listening to Duncan, not his name, not Duncan Williams. Who now? No. The American, the man that is very funny when he's preaching. Jesse Duplantis. That was about 2 weeks ago. And he made his statement. I was watching him on TBN. He said, I don't ever send a bill ahead when I'm going to preach. Now, the man flies around in a private jet when he's going to preach. He said, God always supplies my need. Listen, I learned the fear of God further from that. That is, no matter what, I will bear it in my... And Pastor Paul, you said something. He said, all this one that you see people shouting, only come to pulpit and always shouting for money. He said, the men who preach prosperity the most on earth, have you ever heard them raise an offering? You've listened to Kenneth Copeland. Who preaches nothing but prosperity? That how many times have you heard Kenneth Copeland say, come and give money? Kenneth Hagin lived abundantly. He never did that. I'm explaining something here in all of these things, though. That I observed these things and I learned the fear of God.
That's why David said, come, ye children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God. You have to make up your mind that you want to go certain places with God and learn the proper lessons. You know, ask my wife, at the point that my wife got tired, I say, if this man can, you just want to be given, the only reason why I don't give out our books free is that I don't cast spies before swine. That I just want people to place a value on what they are getting. That, listen, I have come to understand that people say that, you know, I've heard all kinds of advice. No, how to raise money for ministry, you know. You will tell people that maybe this book, I know the book is 100 naira, but I want somebody to give us 500 naira, and then, you know, you give them something back. You know, you see it on TV all the time. For your love offering this month, Paul and Jan would like to send you this. Well, I'm not quarreling with Paul and Jan, but I will never do it. If you don't want to give, I'm sorry, put your money in your pocket. I'm not begging you. I will not give you anything back. No, that is it. Bishop Oyedepo will not even say thank you. The man's zone is even an extreme. The man will collect it like this and go away. At least he won't say thank you. He said, why should I say thank you for what? Is it your money? It's mine. God sent you to come and give me. Give me my money. Go away. Now, you know, I heard all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, I just came to understand that you will not, look, God said, I'm not giving you money from this. I will give you money whichever way I choose. Are you getting my point? And my heart rested in that. So that what keeps me, for me now, what directs my life is where I'm needed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That where is there opportunity for ministry? When Jesus finished preaching to the woman at the well, he lost appetite for natural food because he said, my meat, my satisfaction, my food, my prosperity is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. But the problem with people is what? The Bible said they are filled with influences from the east. They have become soothsayers like Philistines. They say, country is tied to what will your children eat? Now, if you don't do like that, now which other way is there forward? They start teaching you the ways of men. Every time you get up, it's time to stir up people. So, you know, Americans are funny. I'm not saying only them. Nigerians too learning. It's just that they export the greatest in the world, both good and bad. They are the exporters of, you know what I'm saying? If it's good, they export a lot. If it's bad, quite a good quantity comes from them also. You know, there are preachers who, I don't know why I'm even saying all of this. It's a deal. You come to preach, it's how much you can whip up the people to give money. That's what will decide how much in the real they give you at the end of the day. And I plan to live long. You know, I told you I want to live very long. God has, you know, Elihu said, I don't flatter anybody, lest my maker quickly takes me away. So I won't come and lie to you that, listen, look, this message, when I finish preaching, just connect to it with an offering. It's good. You understand my point? It's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Except that I am not saying it for your good. You understand what I'm saying? The motive. Those are the things I had to... No, get what I'm saying. And remember I started by saying that I knew I would preach. So I started observing and taking instruction and observing what a little sleep and a little slumber does to a man's roof. I began to take instruction. That no ministry prosper like Jim Baker's own in America. None. Then one day, it fell down. And a few months later, Bruce was in jail. And he testified by himself that God sent him to jail as an act of mercy, not an act of judgment. Look, the things that are seen are not made out of the things that are visible. The man was first sentenced to so many years that he would die in prison. But God said, no, I don't want you there for that long. God looked at his heart. It appeared like his heart was responding. Then he stirred up another lawyer. The man looked at the sentence and said, this sentence is wrong. And went to the court of appeals. And the appeal court justices threw out the former judgment. They said the judge was biased because God caused him to make one slip when he was passing his judgment. And passing the sentence. The jury had found him guilty. He said, classifying Jim Baker and other Pentecostal preachers, said he called those of us, putting himself in a group against the man. They said bias. Now, you see, those are the physical things. The truth is that God looked at his heart and said, you are set to come out of jail. Are you getting what I'm saying? The next judge now came, looked at the sentences, and gave him the minimum of all the counts. So that he served only 5 years, where the other guy has sentenced him for like 45 years. Are you getting my point? That is, I observed all of these things and I took instruction. That I would rather be poor than have to go to jail and leave my wife outside hanging because of money in ministry. God, let the work not be done. It's your problem, not mine. Because you want to collect money from somebody. Come, you children, he said, listen to me. I will teach. If people understood what they are playing with, people come and brand all kinds of names because of money. Kenneth Hagin said, God spoke to him. He said, be careful about money. Then he repeated it again, be careful about money. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, before you can get to the place of prominence, before you can get to the right hand of Pharaoh that God wants to take you to, first, he has to have his kingdom birthed in every part of your life. Before Daniel and co entered, they vowed, we will not, get my point, pollute ourselves by all the things going on in Babylon. It was not just that food. Before they stepped in, they said, boys, we are entering dangerous territories. Let us establish the kingdom of God. No wonder Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness to do things according to the fear of God. He said, why did you depart from your people? He said, because they are filled with influences from Babylon. If I may use that word. Daniel and co said, let God depart away from us. We have to get rid of those influences before they even start. That is for them. Like we were saying earlier, God is God, not Nebuchadnezzar. At the risk of their lives, they must not offend God. Get what I'm saying? At the risk of their lives, they must not offend God. Because fire is not God. God is God. The lion's den is not God. God is God. Look, listen. I've seen people who say, one thing they fear in life is poverty. No. One thing I fear in life is God. Poverty is a better friend than to fall into the hands of the consuming fire. Hey, I was sharing with some friends recently that, it was when I was in Benin, I was talking to Daniel in Benin. He quoted one man, I think it was Jim Baker, that said, when was it that men entered into trouble? He said, when they stopped preaching the fear of God, when they replaced fear for reverence, and replaced fear with reverence, and when they began to explain that God is a loving God, he does not judge. Yet when Paul was speaking, I said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. He was talking to believers. He wasn't talking to Muslims. He was talking to believers. What am I saying? If you have the kingdom in your heart, listen. As for wealth, it is not an issue. You always get there. The young man who spoke to me with me today that I was telling you about, he said, as for where I'm going in life, it is too clear. That is not my problem right now. I was impressed. Because that's not the problem. His own is he said, sir, I heard you preach. I said, this man is anointed. Where is he? He said, come, you children, listen, pull your ears. I will teach you the fear of God. Anything you are practicing that is not the fear of God won't get you anywhere. That's why we preached a message sometime ago, what I call the fear of God. No, the fear of evil, yes. The fear of evil. Go and get those. That's the Power of the Spirit series. They were quite a lengthy message that we titled The Fear of Evil. Men need to be afraid of evil. Not because of evil for evil's sake, but for the Bible said that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Listen to what he said. He said he cried to him who was able to deliver him from death, and he was heard in that he feared. Now, he wasn't talking about Angel Gabriel. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who you and I serve today. Are you getting my point? That is the kingdom of God in the heart of a man.
The kingdom of God in the heart of a woman is a primary thing. It says, seek it first. You know, let me tell you what, and I've said this again and again in the past, that many of the things that men are laboring after, that women are seeking after, are not things you fight for. They are things that God gives to you as a reward. There was one picture that touched my heart very seriously. That was before my first child was born, Akinlu. One day, I remember that photograph in the one Deeper Life magazine on childbearing and all that. That picture to me was inspired. They showed a big hand from the clouds with a baby in the hand, stretching it forth to a woman. Then it just dawned on me. I said, listen, no woman conceives because of the husband's sperm count. None conceives because they met at the appropriate time of the month. They only conceive because God stretches his hands. Do you get the point I'm making? When I was preparing for my finals, that is, I had done West African finals, the project I was planning to do for my finals, National Postgraduate Medical College, I wanted to do something that had to do with male fertility. And that caused me to study extensively. And they said normal sperm count starts from a minimum of 20 million and above. Then I saw a publication of a man who used his ordinary 50,000 to do the will of God. That is less than 1 in 400 of what is normal. No wonder said, Bible says, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. It has nothing to do with anybody's physical state. Do you get my point? That is the day Hannah woke up, and she and God agreed. God just stretched his hands from the cloud with Samuel in the hollow of his hands, tossed him to her. Are you getting my point? That's why Jesus says, seek first, number one, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. You know, I said I won't review what we said last time, but I can't seem to get into what I want to say for today. I'll take what I wanted to preach today. I'll take that one next time, all right? Then let me keep us for longer than is necessary today, okay? But what I was just saying in all of this is this. We want results in life. We will not get it following the influences from the East. We will not get it the way of every other person. It is a blessing of God that makes rich. It is God that makes people rich. And he said his kingdom rules over all. That is his method for making people on this earth. That is, if you walk in my kingdom, you will be in charge. His kingdom rules over all doesn't mean that he is reigning over all. No, what it means is that if Daniel does not pollute himself with the influences in Babylon, he will become the ruler in Babylon, and he was. That if Joseph will not pollute himself with the influence in Egypt, he will become the influence in Egypt. That if you step into Nigerian police as a young man and swear that no Roger enters my pocket, God said, I will make you the inspector general. That's what he meant when he said his kingdom rules over all. That if you see the wicked reigning, it's because I cannot find the righteous man to use to replace him. Listen to me, there is no court strong enough to hold back the man that God wants to place in authority. If you understand God, he's precious to him and the lives of his own saints. You know what that means? Unprecious to him are the lives of those who challenge them. Pardon my English. That is, God will waste people for nothing if they rise up and challenge what he wants to do. So believe me, there is no human being strong enough on earth. All the courts and the police cannot hold back the person that God wants to place there. None. Look, when you see things happen outside, always try and look at them with the spiritual eyes. One day, Pilate came and killed men who were sacrificing. And another people were somewhere, and the Tower of Siloam fell on them and killed all of them. And Jesus said they all died from their sins. Because he said, except you repent, you will likewise perish. When you see things happening around, I don't judge anybody. I don't care what goes on. I mean, like, I don't try and say, what did he do wrong? I just know there are no accidents in life. Do you understand my point? Saul died because of the sin he committed against the Lord.
Ahab died despite the fact that somebody shot an arrow at random. Why? Because God has said, let him go to Ramoth Gilead and be killed there. So, if I am pleasing to God, I won't die suddenly. You know the interesting thing? God always seems to explain when he wants to do things that are out of ordinary. When Jesus was going to die, he had to give an explanation. Jesus said, listen, the prince of this age is coming, but he has nothing in me. He said, but that the world might know how much I love the Father, I lay down my life of myself and I take it again. He was telling the disciples, don't think these guys can catch me. I want to give myself to them. He warned them ahead of time. Are you following the principle I'm saying? That is, if your life is the kingdom of God, the very hair on your head, the Bible, Jesus said, they are numbered. It didn't mean that God knows the total number. It means each one has a serial number. You know, there's a difference between numbered and counted. That's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There is nowhere you want to get into in life that God can't take you beyond it. You've heard me say this, that Satan cannot give you anything that God had not planned to give you. Or the only thing he ever does is to collect something precious to you while pretending to give you what you were supposed to get. No, look, if you see a man sacrifice himself to the devil and he became famous worldwide, God had intended that fame would be his portion. But God says, walk before me and be perfect, and then I will make you famous. But Satan says, listen, doesn't matter. Just bow to me and you are famous. Don't walk before me. Don't be perfect or crooked. Just bow to me and you are famous. No, that is the difference. It's not where they are going per se. It's how they are getting there. And then the person who takes you there, you will spread his influence. That's life. No, that's just life. You will spread that person's influence. We started all this by talking about destined to reign. That God plans to put his people in places of authority. On the thrones in Egypt, on the thrones in Babylon. So that the influences of, that is the righteousness of God might spread by their influence. But he says, I don't expect them to try to get there. I expect them to try to get me into their heart. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. Then the Father will love him. And then I and the Father will come and make our abode in his house with him. He said, what I want a man to do is to ensure that I live in his house. Because like Obed-Edom, if I get into his house, he will prosper so much, the whole nation will hear about it. He said, if he does that, then I will make him. You understand what I'm saying? If he follows me, I will take him to the appropriate places. I will take him while he's small in his own eyes. Oh, that expression, 1 Samuel chapter 15. That's Samuel said about Saul, verse 17. He said, were you not small in your own eyes, yet God made you? I like that expression. That is, no matter how small the fellow is in his own eyes, no matter how big his opponents are, God said, I will take him. And I will make him. And nobody can stop me. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why he says, I am God and none else. The nation is not God. The laws are not God. Rain is not God. Dryness is not God. Are you getting my point? Visas are not God. His degree is not God. His father is not God. His lack of father is not God. That is, they can't make him. They can't unmake him. They can't push him forward. They can't hinder him. If I make a man, he's made. He said, I act, and who can hinder it? He said, as for my outstretched hand, who can turn it back? Oh, church, believe me. When God is ready to do something, nobody can stop him. Even if the mountains ridge, if the rain is like, let it fall like the one going on in India right now, or tsunami come again, look, it cannot shake the foundation that's been laid in God. It can't. It will only wash away all the things that were obstructing his view. You understand what I'm saying? All those things that were preventing him from being seen. The tsunami will come and shake them. God said, he said, again, I will shake the earth. He said, to remove those things that can be shaken. So the ones that cannot be shaken might stand. That's why we need to build that foundation sure. build it. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to us. The message I wanted to preach today, please guys, I will preach it next time. It's okay, the one we have done today. Let us pray.